Hey everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Lucky Dip podcast. My name is Jordan. If you haven't been here before, I'm the co-founder of a Western Canadian esports organization called Cryus Gaming. And I also work at Kelowna 10, where it's a mobile app, where we create short community-driven news stories and features and everything going around the city, which is pretty cool. So essentially, I'm a content producer and one of the owners of an organization for esports. I'm sure a lot of you know that by now, because I'm going to guarantee that there's quite a few of you who are repeat customers, as one would say. And for those of you, I appreciate it. Make sure that you're leaving a good rating. Make sure that you're sharing the podcast, telling people about it, because that's how we get some nice momentum building. And so far, even at the start of the year, we've only had a couple of podcasts and they're doing pretty well. And I really do appreciate that, because that means that some of you guys are coming back. Y'all listening, having some guests, and I really like when it's about equal listens between when I have guests on and when I'm doing it solo. Just because sometimes it's nice to break it up a little bit. I do want to have more guests on. Trust me, I really do want to have a lot more guests on. It's just difficult sometimes because, A, time gets away from me sometimes, so it'll be the middle of the week, and I'm like, oh, I have a few days till the weekend. Because I usually record these Saturday or Friday and then upload them on Saturdays. But, you know, I'll be midway through the week and I think I have a lot of time. And then next thing you know, I don't. And it's Saturday morning and I go, uh-oh, I have a podcast I have to record right away and no guests lined up. That's one of them. The other thing is sometimes I just don't know who to ask, because the thing is, we have some contacts in esports, right? But some people might not be comfortable being on a podcast. And also, this podcast doesn't have enough clout yet. I'm not saying that I'm not doing anything right or that I'm like sad about that or anything. Not at all. I really appreciate everybody who listens. I'm just saying that for some people who might be a little, what would be the word, higher up essentially, you probably would want to have a bit more clout behind it. So you'd be like, this is going to get X amount of listens and stuff, share this on your socials. And we're not at that stage yet, which is okay. That's totally fine. I'm just saying I'm trying to stick with people who I know, because then I know that they'll probably hop on the podcast because they're just doing it because it's fun and they know who I am and whatnot. But I haven't taken the next step to try to get somebody on the podcast who might have a bit more of a following or anything, or somebody who I'm not like super acquainted with yet, just because, I don't know, it's kind of nerve-wracking to do. And like I said, if once this podcast gets a bit more momentum and a bit more clout, I don't like saying that word clout. I feel like a 2017 YouTuber when I say that, or a TikToker. But it is true, because then once you have a bit more and more people kind of know about the podcast, then you can kind of ask a few more people and whatnot in different positions, and then they'll most likely do it. I don't know why I went on a rant for that for 2 minutes, because that's not all what this podcast is about. But podcast today is going to be broken down into three parts. We're talking about Cryus because we've had a few roster changes, so we're going to be talking about that. Then after, I'm going to talk about the Winter Classic that was last weekend in BLCS. And then finally, I'm going to talk about Call of Duty because that was also last weekend. So that's a lot of esports to watch, which is pretty exciting stuff. So that's how we're going to kind of break down today's podcast. It's going to be completely focused on esports, mixing in my own esports org with Call of Duty and then Winter Classic, which was a tournament. Things have been busy lately. With Cryus, we're trying to do a lot of cool things, which is exciting, and soon enough, I'll be able to say what they are on the podcast. It's really hard not being able to talk about it because I want to, but I cannot yet. We're waiting for a good way to roll these out, so we're going to have lots of announcements that are going to be coming soon, and it's pretty exciting stuff, I'll admit. We're also hoping to expand, and this isn't really a spoiler. I'm not going to say exactly where, but I mean, if you listen to the first podcast of this year, I said I hope that we can expand it to some new games, and we're coming up on almost at a year being an org, so we've kind of all realized this is probably time to try to expand. So I won't say where. I also have not even started looking, but I'm just saying that's what we're hoping to do. So it's pretty exciting stuff. So all of this, I'll explain it when we get to our Rocket League roster changes. So let's just hop right into that right now. So essentially, our Rocket League roster a couple of days ago mutually decided to disband. You know, I'm not a player. Well, I do play Rocket League, but I'm not a player like on a solid team, and I don't enter leagues and tournaments and all of that. So for me, it's hard to understand sometimes like the mindset that you need or how things might not mesh together, because when I watch our three players, Random, Gary, Azuki, I think they're doing good. I think they're improving and everything. But of course, I'm not one of them. You know what I mean? So just because I think something might be looking pretty good doesn't mean that it is. Plus, there could just be little things when you're on a team that you might just not work well with other teammates. And also, to be fair, Zuki and Gary have been teaming for a long, long time. They've been, I think they were on a team, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're on Cat Jam together, which was the team that won CECS last year before we picked them up under Cryus. So they've been teaming together for a long time. Zuki and Gary have been with us as our very first roster with P-Syphil. That was last year. So those two have been teammates like over a year, if I'm not mistaken. And that's, on one hand, that's amazing, because that means that you can have that chemistry built and everything. But then on the other hand, the flip side of that coin, it can also be a little difficult because maybe there's not as many improvements. Maybe things just aren't meshing now because it's like we've had a year. They tried to get a few different thirds, and maybe they aren't at the spot they want to be. And then that makes the decision to disband more difficult for them, because if you were teaming with somebody for a year or over a year, you get pretty close with them. And I can imagine that was a pretty difficult thing to say, I don't know if this is going to keep working, right? So kudos to them for being able to go through with it and to realize that this is a decision that we have to make. Because for us as org owners, Alex and I, if something was going really bad, we can step in and say, or if like, let's say one of a certain player was just toxic or just not a very good person, we would step in and say, you're gone. Like, you're done. We're going to find somebody else or whatever the case is. But for the most part, we stay out of it because we're not the competitive players, right? So once we get a team set, we're good. And then we let them kind of decide what they want to do. Now, if they want to get new players, if they want to get new thirds, new subs, they can find people. And then obviously we get the final sign off, right? Because we have to meet them. We have to make sure they'd be a good fit. We kind of want to see how they play a little bit. So yes, we do get the final say. But again, for the most part, we don't jump in and tell them what to do, because that would be stupid, because they're the players. They're the ones who know the game. So when it's a decision like this to disband, I'm not going to sit there and go, nope, that's not allowed. Furthermore, we don't have contracts or anything in place. We do have things that, people sign and whatnot, but it's not like we're at that level where there's salaries involved, there's a bunch of money, where they're on 2-year contracts, where they're on contracts, this and that. It's not like that. So that's where you have to take these decisions and realize, you know what? That is fair. I am not on the team, so I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, because obviously we're just watching, we're not listening into the comms, and we're not sitting there through conversations and whatnot. So I respect the decision. Obviously, it's a little sad, but we're going to figure it out. And as of right now, everybody's still part of Cryus, right? It's not like everybody's disbanded and they're off doing their own thing and they're not going to talk to us ever again. That's not the case at all. Everybody's still on Cryus. Random is doing some content creation stuff, which is, in a way, kind of full circle, because originally, months ago, we signed him as a content creator, and then it just so happened that he became our third. So originally, he was just going to be a content creator with us. And so he's still signed on as a content creator, and he's going to be helping us with a few things, as well as Little Big Man 2, who you guys met on the last podcast. So we're going to have them helping us with a couple of things, which are coming soon. There's 1, 2, 3 things that are coming pretty soon, 2 of which they're going to be helping with quite a lot, which is exciting stuff. And then Zuki has always helped us behind the scenes. He's always been interested in doing some of that, so he's continuing to do that as well. And Gary's staying on right now, just while we kind of figure out what everybody wants to do and who wants to play, because that's the kind of the harder part too, is just figuring out what everybody likes to do. So as of right now, everybody's still on Cryus, and I respect their decision, although it's kind of sad, but I'm not going to say no to that. And I am excited that now we're going to come back with an even stronger team, right? Because this is a bit of a reset. This is a bit of a reset, regain. Let's find a super strong roster where everybody's meshing, and let's come out strong. Now, a side note to this is we're going to be taking a short break competitively in Rocket League, because we don't want to rush into anything. And also it's because we have a lot of these other cool projects that are coming up right away. So we don't want to rush anybody into it, because then that's not fair, right? We don't want to get them into a situation where we rush them and say, hey, you have 5 days to find a brand new roster or blah, 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 and like put a whole bunch of stress and pressure. Because sometimes that's also not good, and maybe that's a bit of the burnout aspect, right? Because if you're competing and you've been competing for a year and you're trying to improve and entering leagues and tournaments, that gets pretty hectic for these guys. And they're also all in school, you know what I mean? Some have jobs, they're busy. So that's where we want to just take this time now, because this is a really good time at the beginning of the year to hit this reset button, right? Step back competitively from Rocket League just for a bit. We're going to come back to Rocket League 100%. We're not leaving at all. We're actually doing even more content, but that's what we're going to kind of focus on for a second now is the content. Last year, we stepped away from content a lot just to do competitive. Now that we have that all figured out competitively, like we know exactly what leagues to go in, we have tournaments, everything's great, but our roster is going through some changes. So once that's all figured out, we'll come back strong competitively, knowing exactly what we're going to go into, and we're going to be good to go. And that's where I think it's a really important thing to give these guys a bit of a break and to give them time to figure out what they want to do and to not rush anything, because ultimately it would still be great to have a couple of them playing competitively under Cryus, but it's up to them to figure out if they want to, if they want to help us on Cryus in other aspects, or if they want to find new teams and do all of that, because we don't want to hold them back at all. But obviously, we love having them all as part of Cryus. I've been with Cryus for a long time, and it seems like everybody still wants to stay with the org, which is good to hear, and that's what I really appreciate, because we're a smaller org. They're our only competitive team right now, and we're still growing. We're still figuring things out, but I like to try to have, as I mentioned like all the time, I don't want to have a huge team. Like eventually, yeah, growing a team would be great, and I mean behind the scenes and having competitors and having different content, but I like to know everybody, and I like to think of these guys as my friends, because we talk a lot, we game together sometimes, we've been with them for a long time. So, you know, it's nice when people want to stick around and help build this thing with us. So that's why we're giving them a bit of time, taking a step back, and we're going to focus on some of our content stuff, because that was already in place. We're going to do it on top of competitive, but now if competitive is out of the question for just the time being, while we figure all this stuff out, it gives us more time to focus just on the content and to build some things, and give us the opportunity now to also look at some new games. And that's where I mentioned at the beginning, I'm not going to say anything again. I'm not going to spoil anything. There's nothing to spoil because we haven't done anything yet. But what I'm trying to say is if our competitive team, while they figure their stuff out, now we can focus our energy on trying to find a different game so we can come back maybe even stronger as an org with this amazing content we're going to be doing for the next little bit, and then come back competitively with a couple of games, and who knows, maybe even a couple more content creators. So that's where it's like kind of exciting. It sucks at the time being, right? Because you're like, oh no, our competitive team and all this. But when you take a step back and you think about it, this might be good for everybody, because the last thing you want to do is have your team competing and they're just not happy. They're not improving. They don't want to keep doing, they feel stuck in a sense. And I feel the same way with a lot of things. So that's where it's nice to hit that reset, to take a little bit of a break, to just relax for a sec, and then figure everything out. So essentially, that's what has been going on our end competitively with Rocket League, with our roster. So as I said again, we're not done competing. We're just taking a short break competitively with Rocket League, but we're still going to hop back into it. We still have content coming. We have some new cool things on the way. And then we're going to come back strong with a roster, and hopefully a roster in a new game as well, because that would be perfect. We come back with two games. That'd be sick. And more people helping behind the scenes. So we're still growing. We're still expanding. Nothing's like done by any means. So it's still very exciting stuff. And again, this is the reason that I'm bringing this up and talking about it for so long is because this is the first time since we've been in org that this has happened where our whole team has kind of disbanded and aren't playing together, right? Because when we had P. Siffle and Gary and Zuki in the summer as our first roster, and then P. Siffle wanted to step away, we still had Gary and Zuki, and then they just had to find a third. You know what I mean? So it's always been that. It's always been, we're just going to find a third. And sometimes it does take a little while. I think one of them took like a month almost, one of the changes. But this is the first time where everybody, it's kind of like a full reset. You know, it's not just a third player who's getting swapped in or out. It's kind of everybody is stepping back. So that's why it's a big deal in that regard, because it's the first time as an org that has happened. And then I guess on the other hand of it as well, since we're a smaller org and all we have right now competitively and for content and everything is Rocket League, it is a bit of a bigger deal because that's all we have. You know, if we had like three other teams and stuff and we're like, oh, our Rocket League team is doing this, okay, that's okay, we'll find something else, but we're still competing in this game and this game. But we don't have that yet. And so that's also why we want to try to expand into another game, so that way we can always have one facet of Cryus still competing and doing things. And obviously this is no pressure on the players at all right now for our Rocket League team to do anything. I'm just saying as an org, that's why it's also a thing to talk about, because it's how you learn when you're growing and as you're building. And the good news for finding a new game and for finding a new roster and for working with our guys and everything is we've been doing this for a while now, so we kind of understand what to do. And especially with Rocket League, that's going to be a bit easier. But even when we venture into this new game, or games, I don't know yet. I don't even know what game yet. But we kind of know what to do, right? We have a bit of experience now. People kind of know who we are. And that's where it's also good from an org standpoint, as I think I mentioned in the last podcast at the beginning of the year, that going into a new game is really good because that grows our brand as a whole. Because we don't want to just be cornered or painted into a corner of just being Rocket League, although I love Rocket League. But we want to be bigger than that as Cryus Gaming. And this has been talks we've been having for months. It's just also scary to go into a new game when you're so comfortable with the one you're in now, right? As I mentioned before, Rocket League is only 3 players. It's very easy. A lot of these other games are 5 players plus a coach plus a, well, we need a team manager for that because that's 5 players plus a sub plus maybe 2 subs. You know what I mean? It gets a little crazy. It could be a little hectic. So that's where we understand now. But it's also different because it's not Rocket League and we're so comfortable with Rocket League. So it's a good step that we're going to have to take. And I think it's a necessary step. And everybody agrees. I mean, nobody's going to sit here, even our players and stuff, are not going to sit here and be like, oh, you guys should just be Rocket League. No, it's like, we still love Rocket League. We still want you to compete in Rocket League. That's what they all say too. But they're like, get into a different game as well, because that's how you grow as an org. And we know that. And I also want to have more players and build a bigger community, and everything is Cryus. But right now, Rocket League has been really, really great to us. So I just want to reiterate one more time, we're not leaving Rocket League. Our team's just disbanded, so we're giving them time to find what they want to do and to work with them. So we're going to come back, and hopefully with more games. Anyways, let's move on to the Winter Classic from BLCS. So last weekend was so we work with the Nation a lot. He's the commissioner or the owner, essentially, of Blackline Championship Series, and that's the main league that we compete in because it's run really well. Like we said, we have a good relationship with Nation. Lots of good teams that we play with. Excuse me. A lot of good people on those teams. We get to know them and everything, which is awesome. And it's just a nice league. So we really enjoy being in that one. And so what Nation decided to do and his team is every season, like literally like every season, you know, like winter, spring, summer, fall, things like that, they're going to have like tournaments, which is cool. So it's a different format. It's called like Swiss Stage, and I still don't know how it works, truthfully. I don't know how all these brackets and whatnot work, but it's like a big event that takes the whole weekend, and it's separate from the regular season, which we just finished season 8, and they're going into season 9. So I don't know if we're going to have a team yet to compete in season 9, but if we do, then obviously we're going to enter it. If not, we'll be in the next one. But basically, yeah, they put on this really, really big event, and it was exciting, and we had a stream ready, and Alex was streaming it. We got a bit of new assets in place on stream, which looked really, really cool. And yeah, so we streamed a few of the games, and unfortunately, we lost both of the games, which meant that we were out, because I think that's the type of format. I'm not going to try to explain what the format is, because I don't even understand it, but you have to like keep winning matches. Sorry, not games. You have to keep winning matches to keep proceeding. And then obviously you have to win to win. But what I mean is you get further the more you win. Oh, that sounds dumb when I explain it. But if you lose, like we lost 2 in a row, so then we're just out. Like there's no loser's bracket or anything. It's like we for sure we're going to play two or three matches, on Friday, last Friday, the first day. But since we lost them, then we're out of the tournament and we don't continue on to the weekend. I don't know if that makes sense. It's okay. What I'm trying to say is we lost a couple of matches, so we were out for the weekend, which sucked on one hand, but then on the other hand, it was okay because Call of Duty was on for the kickoff classic, so I could watch that, which I'll talk about after this. And then I got to go to see my grandma and see my aunt and uncle for supper, and so that was actually pretty nice. Got to go visit with them, because if not, I would have had to be on stream because I got it's a far drive that it takes a full day basically, but it's nice. I really like visiting with them. So it actually, personally, it worked out well. But obviously, it would have been nice to see the squad go further. And I should also mention that Zuki, who's our team captain, was at a track meet in Alberta. I think he did pretty good. I was talking to him about it. I didn't know previously that he did track and field. So that's actually pretty cool. He's a runner. He's a track star. And yeah, so he wasn't able to play in it. So obviously he's like our main guy for communication. That's what you do when you're the captain. And also like I said, he has always helped us out with staff stuff too. So he's kind of like our main guy. So when he was away at his meet, that's already tough on the team because he's the captain. And then, so we had, well, this is where it's confusing because I think we were going to have our coach play, but then also our sub play for one of them. But then our coach had COVID, so he was kind of sick, or he's like recovering. And then Gary, his power was out, so he couldn't play in the first match. So it was like literally, it was just a complete mess. So it was very unfortunate, and that probably is what kind of contributed to it as well, because then when Gary's power came back on, he didn't have any chance to warm up. He didn't have anything. They just played with somebody else on the team, and then Gary's coming in, and that would be very difficult and probably quite frustrating if I was one of them, because, you know, you plan going into it hoping to win, and then things just go wrong literally at the last moment. Like, what are the odds that right before the tournament the power gets knocked out and doesn't turn on for 2 hours? So again, I'm not making excuses, well, a little bit, but I'm also just saying that it would have probably been very frustrating, and that's most likely some of the reasons why we lost, is because it wasn't our main roster, and then there's just hectic things happening. So that's already extra stress when you're just focusing on trying to play and trying to win. You can't warm up, you can't play properly, and it's just, I'd been very frustrated if I were them. Just knowing personally, if that happened to me, I'd have lost full before we even started playing. And then that's not a good mentality to go in when you're trying to play and trying to win when you're already kind of frustrated or flustered, because that's how I would have been. I don't want to speak for them. They might not have been. I don't know. They might have been more chill about it. But if it was me playing, I would have been a little frustrated. Not at any of the players, just at the situation going on, right? So it's just unfortunate. That's how it happens sometimes. But it was a fun event to watch. I still watched it, and it was great. It was a really good event. Am I getting mixed? Hold on. No, I'm not getting mixed up. It was last weekend. I'm confused. I think they were on the same weekend, because I'm getting confused between Call of Duty and Blacklight and the Winter Classic, but I think they both were last weekend. Am I crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I might be, but not in this way. Okay. Anyways. Sorry, it feels like it was so long ago, but I think it was actually just last week. But I didn't record the podcast last week because I didn't get a guest in time, and then I didn't have anything to talk about, whereas this week I actually have things to talk about. So what I'd rather would do is take 1 week off versus putting together something that I didn't really want to talk about or that I didn't have anything, you know, I'm kind of just scrambling for something. So that's why I didn't post last week, and I was also watching all this stuff. Okay, that makes sense. But yeah, it was a fun event to watch. There was actually quite a lot of traction, which was great, and it's just nice because we got to play against some teams that we didn't get to play before in the regular season. So we played against the University of Connecticut first. They're a pretty decent team. I don't think we've ever played against them before. And university teams, or varsity teams, rather, I don't know if that's what they're called. They're probably just in the States. But most of my viewers are in the States, so hopefully that makes sense to you guys. Varsity, I think that's what you guys call it. They have pretty good regimens for like practicing and stuff, and they have really good structures in place. Same with the University of Alberta, who are also in this tournament. Same with them. For their Valorant teams, for the Rocket League teams, for their Rainbow Six teams. Like, they have very, very good programs in place. And it's nice to watch, and it's great to have contacts with those guys. So, yeah, anyways, we lost to University of Connecticut. And then I forget who we played after that, but we also lost to them. The hard part as well, here's the other hard part for me personally, is it was on Friday, the first day, and it started at 6 p.m. Eastern time, which is 3 p.m. my time. I was at work, so by the time I got home, we had already lost both of our games and I couldn't even watch it. So I was watching on the computer at work while I was editing. That is what I was doing. My boss came in at one point and he's like, as I was editing, he's looking at my work. He's like, oh, what's this? I'm like, this is my Rocket League team competing. And then we watched them lose, and that was really unfortunate. But it was kind of funny because like my boss, as soon as he walked in, it was like, I think it was our final match or one of our matches and we lost. And I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. But regardless, we still overall played decent. We almost had a couple of comebacks. We had an amazing play, which I didn't get to see because I was at work, so I didn't have my sound on or anything, so I didn't know. But I guess there was like 13 seconds left or something like that, or 20 seconds. I don't remember. It was very, very the game was just about to end, and I think we scored three goals, but then lost in overtime. So that's where it was like unfortunate, but they almost clutched up a couple of times, which would have been crazy. That's just where the timing sucks when it's on a Friday and I'm at work, because I'm Pacific time and a lot of these events are either Central or Eastern time. So then, you know, it's later in the evening for them, but for me, it's the middle of the day and I'm like, dude, I can't even watch my own team play. I'm at work and I didn't want to be because I wanted to watch this and stuff. So I didn't really get to see our team compete very much, but I mean, overall, I got to see I watched the tournament because it went all weekend. So I was watching the finals and stuff, and that was a crazy last series. And it was definitely exciting to watch. Obviously, it would have been great if our team was in it in the finals, but regardless, it was some good Rocket League to watch and it was pretty exciting. So I'm excited for the new ones that they have coming up, the new tournaments, and hopefully we'll have a team for the league, or the season rather. And by season this time, I mean season 9. I don't mean season in winter or spring. But hopefully we'll have one. If not, we'll have one for the one after or for the next tournament coming up, because that's a couple of months away. So regardless, we'll still be competing in BLCS, and I've been telling Nation that. So Nation, if you're listening, don't worry. Nation's been on the podcast. Y'all know who he is. Go back a couple episodes. We talk about running leagues, and we actually talk about BLCS, which is exciting. And at the time, we couldn't talk about Winter Classic or anything, so it wasn't announced. But now it has been announced, of course, and we just played it, so that's where I can talk about it. But those were some of the things that he was waiting to say, but he couldn't. And there's also been some cool partnerships that they have. They're doing really good, and it would be awesome to keep working with them in the future because, like I said, good relationships being built. Nation's a nice guy. We like the league. We like the teams. We like the players in it. So we're hopefully going to be making a return to that soon. All right, folks. Now we're going to hop into Call of Duty talk, my favorite thing to talk about. Just kidding. It's not. It used to be. It used to be my favorite thing to watch and favorite thing to play. And if you listen to my whole rant, which I actually listened to last week because I'm a bit behind on my own podcast for listening-wise, Vanguard's just not very fun. But this was fun to watch. It was the first competitive play. First tournament, I guess, of the whole season. It wasn't regular season. It wasn't anything special. Like, I don't even think you got anything if you won. But it was called the Kickoff Classic. And it was like the first time we've seen all these teams compete. Now, the reason that this is pretty exciting and the reason it was also really fun to watch is because there was a lot of different rosters. Because there, I think when the CDL first formed 2 years ago, mostly everybody was on two-year contracts, so the only way you could switch is if you got traded or if another team bought out your contract or if you made a deal, whatever the case is. But for the most part, the teams kind of stayed the same. You know, there'd be a couple players who switch in and out, but for the most part, the teams were all the same. So you kind of knew going into it who was going to win and who was not doing so hot because they didn't really switch up too much. But this year is the first one that lots of the contracts ended, which meant it was basically free reign, which was crazy roster mania, which means that a lot of these teams, which again, since this franchise are based off of cities, so a lot of these cities that last year were horrible are looking pretty good this year because they have a completely new team. So now it kind of throws everything up in the air where I think this team sucks, this team sucks, this team is really good. And then you see them in the Kickoff Classic now because they're completely revamped and you go, oh, I got to get rid of that stigma I have towards these certain teams, these biases, because they're kind of cracked now. So that part was really, really fun to watch. Like I said, it was called the Kickoff Classic. It was just kind of a way to get out there and play. It was on LAN, which was exciting on one hand because last year they didn't play on LAN till I think near the end of the year, and it was only once in a while. But for the very first, you know, kickoff event, it was in person. There was crowds there. It was really fun to watch. And that was really exciting. The unfortunate part to that, obviously there's always an unfortunate part, is that a lot of the players and stuff got COVID and some of them are complaining on Twitter because there wasn't a lot of safety precautions or measures in place for the players, for the teams. I think we're kind of coming to a part now in COVID where, well, different countries are doing different things, but a lot of people are kind of done with COVID in a sense. And so just as an example, last year when there was some LAN events for Call of Duty, there would be no players. Obviously, there was players, otherwise you can't play. There were no spectators or anything in person. The casters weren't even there in person at the desks. It was just the players playing, and it was like a lot of safety precautions in place, and they slowly brought more fans in and stuff, but still a lot of precautions in place. And now I feel like everybody's kind of just done with it, so I think there might be some forgetfulness when it comes to COVID that it still is around. Granted, hopefully a lot of people are being, you know, getting vaccinated, being safe, wearing masks, whatever the case is. But essentially, a lot of players still got it, and some of them were complaining because there wasn't like really anything in place for protection-wise. I don't know if that's true or not. I was not behind the scenes. I'm not one of the people running the show, so I don't want to say that that is what happened. Maybe it's just a few of the players thought that way. But regardless, it was really cool for a spectator like myself to be able to watch this and see that it was live on LAN, because again, that is the best way to play. That means there's no latency errors, there's no ping differences, there's no way for anybody to be cheating or anything. Not that I hope that they would at that level, but you never know, because everybody's in person. It's great to see everybody in person playing. It's the best they can be competitively. And obviously the broadcast just looks way better because the desk is there, the analyst desk, the hosts are there. It's just way more fun from a competitive standpoint. It's like watching a hockey game. No, that I can't even make that comparison because they can't play online. So that doesn't make sense. But what I'm trying to say is that it was really good. It was really fun to watch. It was really exciting stuff. And it is unfortunate that a few players did get COVID and whatnot, but hopefully they're all recovering fine, and hopefully some more safety precautions might be taken for the next events coming up. And I hope that a lot more of them are still on LAN, because it's just how they have to do it for all high-level esports. Even Rocket League, I wish that our players could play on LAN more often. I don't think they ever have before, because like they all kind of started competing and stuff, I think, more when COVID was around. I'm not too sure. But anyways, it'd be really fun to play, even for us, on LAN. But it's really great to watch Call of Duty on LAN. So yeah, that was the first Vanguard event of the year. It was fun to watch. I actually enjoyed it. Not as much as other Call of Duties, because there's a bit of that disconnect. Since I don't have the game, I haven't played it at all. I'm not super familiar with the guns. I'm not familiar with the maps. You know, it's hard to be that into it when I don't play it myself, because last year, for example, it was a lot more fun to watch because I'd watch and then I would take what they were kind of doing and apply it to my in-game performance. And I would kind of see the spots they go to. I'd see how they do rotations for different game modes. I would see how they do certain plays. And then I would try to incorporate that because I was playing the game, or I'd be playing the game and then I'd be watching it. So in that way, it's a bit more fun because you're learning a bit, you understand the maps, you know which guns are good, and you can take the guns that they use and try to use them yourself. But since I don't play, and I'm not going to, I'm just watching it and I'm like, oh, cool, that is, I don't even know what the maps are called. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know anything. I don't even know what the guns that they use. I'm just watching it to watch some Call of Duty. And also, Optic lost on the first day. They only played one match and they lost. Again, in the kickoff classic, it was basically, you kind of just play, and if you win, you move on. If you lose, you're out. Because it was a quicker tournament. You know, it wasn't like a huge round robin, crazy loser's bracket, all this or that. It's just, you lose, you're gone. You get eliminated. So, unfortunately, I didn't even get to see Optic play because it was on Saturday. So I was at my aunt and uncle's and my grandma's having some good food, which I'm not going to complain about. But, you know, I didn't get to see Optic play because they're new this year. They're Optic Texas. Right before they were Optic Chicago, the year before that they were at the Chicago Huntsmen, then they went back under Optic, they were Chicago, now they're Optic Texas. They had a merger between Envy Esports, which was usually their main rival, so they had they're together now, there's a merger, so the two orgs are the same, one in the same, which means that there was two players from Optic, Skump and Dashy, and then two players from Dallas Empire, who again last year were the pretty big rivals, and they actually won the whole thing in the very first inaugural year of Call of Duty League. 2 years ago in Modern Warfare. Anyways, so then they have Shotzi and, why am I forgetting the last player? Skump? Oh, and Illy. And the cool part about Illy is I bring this up every time and everybody thinks it's stupid, but I played against Illy with Brayden and a couple of the guys in Black Ops 4 3 years ago. I played against Illy. He dominated us. That's before he was in the CDL. And then the following year, he went to win a championship, and now he's playing with Skump, who's my favorite player. So, you know what I mean? That's kind of cool. I don't care if that was 3 years ago and we played one match, and other people play more matches against pros and blah, blah, blah. For me, that was cool, because that's the only time I've played against a pro, and it just so happens to be the guy who's teaming with Skump now, and Skump's the GOAT. He's the king of Call of Duty. So, that's pretty cool. And, yeah, so the Toronto Ultra won the entire thing. And oh yeah, quick back to what I was saying. All the rosters, all the teams are different now, except Atlanta FaZe, who won it all last year, and Toronto Ultra, who made a really good run last year. So Toronto Ultra is the exact same team, and so is Atlanta FaZe. Everybody else, the other 10 teams in the league, are all different. So Toronto Ultra came out strong, and they won the whole thing, which is, you know, good for them. They're not. It's funny, because they're the only Canadian team, but I don't really root for them. I don't know what it is. They're also, none of them are from Canada even. They're all from Europe, all the players. I don't know. I've just never cared about Toronto Ultra. unfortunately, which I should. Like I said, they're the only Canadian team, but I just don't. I'm sorry. From my geographical standpoint, the team that I should be rooting for is actually Seattle, because they're the closest to me. They're only a few hours away, and their ownership group also owns the Vancouver Canucks, which is a hockey team up here. So, you know, they're the closest ties to me, but I don't really care for them either. Anyways, so yeah, Toronto Ultra, they did really good. And the exciting thing coming up now is I just saw this on LinkedIn and on Twitter recently, is Esports Engine has partnered with CDL, and this is huge news. This is huge. So Esports Engine, these used to be the guys who like ran MLG events back in the day for CWL, back when Call of Duty was first starting. These are like the original broadcast guys who would run these events. And then they created Esports Engine and didn't have a partnership with CDL when it first started. But now that they do, things are going to get a lot better. Like I'm talking, this is probably going to be like one of the best things to happen in competitive Call of Duty, at least to start to one of the best things to happen. And hopefully more good things come, because Esports Engine, these guys know how to run events. They know how to do it properly. They listen to the players. They make this show really good. That means they're going to have new overlays. Everything's going to look really clean, and it's going to be run properly. And they have really good resources, and they know what they're doing on LAN, and they know what they're doing for broadcasting. So for me as a broadcasting person, I'm excited for what's to come. I really am, from that standpoint. And the other exciting thing, a little side note as well, is that since Optic and Envy are now one org, they're the same, they partnered together, they merged together, rather. Envy actually purchased this esports stadium or something, if I'm remembering correctly, in Dallas, I think. Might be in somewhere else in Texas. But anyways, they bought this place, so that means that events are going to be crazy. And see, Optic right now just has Halo and Call of Duty, but Envy has Rocket League, and they have a few other... They have a lot. Like, they're a bigger org as a whole than Optic is. But that means that there can be a lot of cool events happening, because they bought this huge stadium and they own it now. So you never know when events come there. Working with Esports Engine, things are going to get crazy. Things are going to be cool. And then also for all the other games, and who knows what else they're going to do with it. If you own this thing, I mean, you're probably not just going to let it sit idle until you have a competition there. Like, they might do some really cool things with it. So I'm excited just on that regard to see what happens. But that's probably going to be related to Call of Duty when they open it and down the line. But even just now, I'm excited to see where that all goes. But other than that, I talked about everything I wanted to talk about today. This is going to be a bit of a shorter episode, just because I don't want to ramble on and accidentally spoil things and whatnot. You know, that would be unfortunate. But yeah, so thank you for listening today. I'm going to try to have another guest on for next week. I'll try to figure out somebody to have on, and I'm going to try to reach out to people who I might not have that personal relationship or connection with, and just see what they say, depending on who they are and what they do, and we'll kind of go from there and see if it all works out. And that way maybe I can keep getting more guests, and then we keep building on top of that and go from there, because collaboration is the sensation that makes this whole thing grow. You know what I mean? That's how you build relationships, that's how you build content, that's how you build fans, that's how you build this whole industry, especially up here in Canada, is we got to keep collaborating with everybody and building this together. We're stronger together than we are apart, but if we ever play against each other, we will win, as in competitively in a game. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you again for listening. I appreciate it. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the Lucky Dip Podcast, and I'll see you next time.